everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my friend John Couch. John's our engineer and producer. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Tuesday, the 25th of February, 2020. And John, today is National Pancake Day, which oddly enough falls on Fat Tuesday. So put that together. We're broadcasting from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. We're on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Have quite an archive after all the years on the radio. Got a lot of programs. They're available for you 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. If you'd like to join the conversation, the live line number 790-2040. Most people have an aspect of their personality that they would like to change at some point in their life anyway, but without help, it may be difficult to do so, according to a new study led by a University of Arizona researcher, Erica Baranski. Erica's research was published in the Journal of Research in Personality. Ms. Baranski is a postdoctoral psychology researcher at the University of Arizona Institute on Place, Well-Being, and Performance. Erica joins us now on the live line. Erica, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. You know, I think it's believed anyway, and maybe this is a myth, that your personality is pretty much more or less set in stone. Is that a myth?
That is a myth, yeah. There was famous researchers in the early part of the 19th century or 20th century that said that your personality is set like plaster. It's sort of a famous quote by the time you turn 30. But over the last 50 years, there's been several assessments, both longitudinal and cross-sectional, that demonstrate that our personalities do change over the lifespan. And specifically, people sort of get better. So you become more conscientious, more agreeable, more emotionally stable over the course of your life, your lifespan.
Would that be like when you're maybe in college or a younger person, so you're more agreeable and kind of conscientious, then you become less extroverted after you get married, and then more agreeable in their retirement years? Is that kind of how the curve works?
That's exactly right, yeah. So in parallel to these investigations of personality change, have been investigations of the mechanisms of personality change. And a lot of that research focuses on important life events or shifts in social roles. So you're not a college student, and then you are a college student. You're not a parent, and then you are a parent. And how these events or shifts impact your personality. And so you're exactly right. College students become more conscientious. When you get married, you become less extroverted, and then in retirement, you become more more agreeable. And then there are, you know, several other trends when it comes to these important life experiences.
What brought you to this research? Why were you attracted to it, Erica?
Well, as I was learning about this line of research, in terms of personality change over the lifespan in general, I started to think about my own life and my own personality change. And there have been, I've recalled times in my life where I've had these explicit, goals to be more extroverted or to be more conscientious in my life. And, you know, most of the time those explicit personality change goals, you know, they occur after I, you know, started college or, you know, started, a new relationship or something. But nonetheless, they were these explicit active efforts sort of driven towards these personality change. So I started to think that maybe the mechanism is less these shifts in social roles or these major life events, and more individuals' active effort in response to those life events. So I started to research to see if anybody had looked at volitional personality change or the active effort towards change. And there was sort of a hole in the literature. So that got me started.
And you talked to how many people for this study?
We talked to roughly, we had two populations in the study. One of them was a age-diverse online population, and we surveyed 500 of those individuals and then roughly 350 college students to look at the diversity or to look at volitional personality change across a diverse group of people.
And you were measuring what's called the Big Five, the five key personality traits. What are those?
That's right. Those are extroversion, agreeableness, conscientiousness, emotional stability, and openness to experience.
And this varied considerably, Erica, by age. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, individuals, you know, across the life course, they do have different levels of these traits. And that's one way that researchers have been able to demonstrate that personality changes over the life course, because you can see that somebody in their 60s, you know, is more agreeable than somebody in their 20s. So age is an important factor.
How will this information be used? I would imagine marketers would probably be very interested in this if they were targeting Erica Baranski, a particular population. This could be very helpful, couldn't it?
It might be, yeah. I've recently been thinking about how volitional personality change might be helpful in the workplace. So if workers are interested in being more conscientious or emotionally stable in the context of their job, we could, or you know, the management of a particular company could harness the power of volitional personality change and you know, coach them or rely on the goals that they already have to change their personalities to improve these work-relevant personality traits. Because we know that conscientiousness and emotional stability predict a lot of important workplace outcomes.
So where do you take this research now, Erica? And I know you should be very proud of it. Getting published in that journal is very prestigious. Where do you hope this information will wind up? How will it be used?
I would hope that, in two ways. I would hope that people would read my article, my research, and then that and the others in the same domain, and realize that it's not something, a personality change goal isn't something that you can sort of passively have, that you really do need to work on it every day and sort of remind yourself explicitly, maybe come up with some sort of app-based help to remind you of this personality change goal, in order to see those actual changes. Because we're seeing that left to your own devices, or not getting help from an app or from an accountability partner, for instance, that we really don't see that much change. So there's other research in this subfield that demonstrates that if individuals are reminded of their personality change goal and the strategies that they're using to change their personality, that they actually are able to change. So we're sort of, myself and the others in the field are sort of, outlining the boundaries of when personality change is possible, and that should give people an idea of how to focus their personality change efforts.
So it sounds like it's very important, if you do want to make a personality change, to try not to go it alone. Try to have some help doing it from a professional, a friend, or maybe, as you even point out, a mobile app reminding them of their goals. Would that be a good summary?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, the field is relatively new. We're still sketching the boundaries, as I mentioned earlier. So the way that that app would look like, or the amount of involvement that you would have from a friend or an accountability partner, is still somewhat unknown. So we're working on really understanding the route towards having a goal and achieving the goal.
All right. Erica Baranski, thank you very much. Erica, a postdoctoral psychology researcher at the University of Arizona Institute on Place, Well-being and Performance, talking about her research about folks that if they want to change their personality, it may not be very easy to do it alone. Her research was published in the Journal of Research in Personality. Erica, thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks a lot. Erica Baranski with us on the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the program presented by Mona's Danish Bakery. Mona's is the place to go right now if you're looking for a great lunch, or if you want breakfast, we can take care of that too. Owner and Chief Baker Steve is ready to present you with a beautiful menu, not only for breakfast, lunch, a wide variety of great breads and pastries. Open right now for lunch, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. Also a link at BuckmasterShow.com. Shelley Fishman is with me in studio, and he has given me, boy, that's about as big a thumbs down on the market as I've seen in a long time. We'll be right back.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Hey, it's Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
And this is Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
Matt, did you hear that Travel and Leisure magazine just ranked the Douro Valley as a top 50 spot for world travel?
Yes, so how about Portugal and Spain for my next culinary and cocktail cruise?
Let's do it on the Douro River aboard the new Ama Douro ship from Ama Waterways.
I'll need a chef's table dinner, winery tours, and other private excursions.
Matt, consider it done.
Thanks, Ryan. Portugal and Spain, here we come. Go to bvtravel.com to learn more.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a three-hour drive if you're looking for a great getaway. This certainly would qualify for a nice road trip. Visit southwestnewmexico.org, the starting place. There you will find all sorts of ideas about recreation, including doing some hiking, a beautiful time of year in the Gila National Wilderness, or just kind of hanging out in historic Silver City. southwestnewmexico.org, the starting place for your trip to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, Shelley Fishman, with us in studio. And Shelley, the hemorrhaging from yesterday continues on Wall Street.
Right. So last week it started with less than a panic, but it was still significant. And of course, yesterday down 1,000 points and today down close to 800.
Mm. And put it all together percentage-wise, if you take last week, now we're at
almost 10%.
Well, isn't that, from what I recall, you're telling me 10% is correction territory?
If it holds up for a couple of days, we'll call it a correction. You know, because there's a specific reason for this, you know, a precipitant, it's hard to call it a correction.
Right.
This is just, you know, people being stupid and selling a whole bunch of stuff. On the other hand, you can argue, and I think with some rationale, that there are certain industries that could potentially be hurt in the short term and in the medium term by a worldwide pandemic. And if you believe the CDC, and I normally do, today's announcement, press conference, and briefing was that the idea that this virus would come to the United States and present a problem here was virtually inevitable. That's their word.
Mm-hmm. So we have a situation where the supply chains are being affected. Industries, as you point out, certain industries are going to be hit in the short term. Will this change the talk about a possible recession?
Well, Goldman Sachs this morning talked about a possible worldwide recession and talked about just the pandemic alone being responsible for about 0.6% off the growth rate of the world economies. That's a very large number. If the world economies were going to grow at maybe 1% or maybe a little bit less than 1% in 2020 anyway, that'd knock half the growth out of the world economies. That is a very large number.
I have been reading everything I can possibly read about this coronavirus, and there are still so many unknowns. Some folks believe because the coronavirus is part of the general family of corona, is part of the common cold, that this with a cold and flu-like symptoms could be a part of the landscape for a long time.
And over time, we develop the kinds of immunities.
Yes.
And the death rate from infections right now is running, what,
2%? About 2%. Yeah. The flu is less than usually 1%. So, you know, you're in the ballpark there.
Right. So the world isn't going to freeze over and tumble into the sun.
No. And 80% of the cases with coronavirus present as mild. And, you know, most people do completely recover. So, I mean, we're at a stage right now, we have so many unknowns. And as we get in, there's some that believe that with this will be seasonal. We're getting into the spring beginning next month. So we don't know.
That's true.
And that's part of what is being reflected on Wall Street.
So I'm not a doctor, and
no.
I don't want to talk above my pay grade.
No.
However, I can talk about the industries that are being most immediately affected by the slowdowns as cities are shut down or are essentially quarantined. Now, we've talked over the past 2 weeks about the effect on supply chains worldwide, mm-hmm. and how it affected both high-tech and automotive. I mean, we know even a couple of weeks ago we had factories, automotive factories in Japan, Korea, and in the U.S. even, having to slow down or stop their production lines as a result of not being able to get the component parts they needed. Now we're seeing travel, which is a very large component of the service industry, being heavily affected. And this is kind of counterintuitive, but we're also seeing a large reduction in the price of oil.
Mm-hmm.
Oil is now hovering at around $50 a barrel, which is the critical point of profitability for most, well, on average, the oil industry. They fall below $50, and theoretically, they're taking a loss on every barrel that they produce. So that could have a negative effect. Now, the oil industry for the past 10 years has been a catastrophe. It's just been flat for 10 years during a time when we've seen markets in general, you know, jump over 100%. So what is happening to energy is something that is problematic anyway. But if we go back to oil under $50, then it raises the question of does it make sense to continue fracking, starting new wells, reopening old wells. So there are problems there in that industry. And that industry, you know, makes up a fairly decent-sized component of the U.S. GDP.
Yes, it does.
Now, keep in mind, the U.S. is fortunate because, unlike other countries, the majority of our growth or our domestic product takes place with Americans trading with other Americans. And so theoretically, we are somewhat insulated as an economy from the rest of the world. But the key word there is somewhat, Bill. We will be affected, and some of those effects will be in, again, heavy manufacturing, and which is already in recession, and also travel, which gets into the travel season starting actually this month, next month.
Right, March, around the first of spring. A lot of people want to beat before the kids get out of school. A lot of people who don't have kids, or maybe the kids are grown, they want to do their traveling before the summer season. So, yeah, we're on the cusp here of the prime tourist season starting. I want to talk about, normally you have a huge down day like yesterday. You have a rebound.
Especially if it happens on a Monday.
Yeah, okay. The rebound is led by people who buy the dip.
Yes.
That's not happening today.
It started this morning. We got some people buying this morning. And
yeah,
the market
I think
was
do.
Up 100 and something points.
Almost 200 points on the upside.
Thing.
Okay.
And then the panic continued. Yeah. So, you know, the interesting thing about buying the dip is that you have to get your timing right. And of course, it's impossible to get your timing right unless you can travel into the future. So buying the dip is a dangerous prospect. What we know is over time, the markets do recover. They always have. So if we're down
1987, when the market, we were just talking during the break.
Was a frightening day.
The market dropped 20%. That was that October day in 1987, and I asked you during the break, how long did it take to come back? Less than a year.
So
the markets will come back.
The markets will come back. So the question is, how greedy do you want to get? We've now had 5 trading days out of 6 that are down. If you've got some spare cash floating around, and if you've been listening to me and taking my advice, you should have some spare cash floating around. Then, you know, now might be a decent time to look at reinvesting. Don't get out of your lane. You know, if your normal risk tolerance and age appropriateness would keep you conservative. Mm-hmm. By all means, stay conservative, but you know, get back in if you think this is kind of the end of the panic. If you think it's going to go on for some more time, you know, hold your breath and wait a little bit. But I don't know how long this is going to last. I don't know what investors, especially the large investors, are building into this. One of the things that makes this a little bit different from some other market rather than economy-driven downslides.
Pre-fall.
Is that, well, I'm not going to go there.
But, okay, all right.
But this is...
Yeah, we're not free-fall, but no.
This is economy-driven. In other words, what the reason people are selling stocks and to some extent more risky bonds right now is because they're looking at the underlying industries and saying, well, my gosh, if we get quarantines, if we get cities shutting down, if we get supply lines shutting down, that will have an effect on the economy. And so what we see here is this unusual mix of markets and economies coming into some coherence, if you will. They're both acting at the same times. And that's why this is so disturbing and why it might take a little bit more time to recover from this.
All right. We'll be waiting for some clarity and hopefully some good news, because this market is just like, if it got some good news, I think you'd see a nice upside.
The market has been optimistic and wants to be.
I think so. Shelley, thank you very much, sir.
You'll have a great week.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It's Bill Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. I'm so excited about what's been going on at Green Things. They're in their 50th year and still growing on their 13-acre site over on East River Road. And you know, 3384 East River Road, what a beautiful area there by the Rito River just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. And Zocalo is there now. And Zocalo for years was over by Country Club and Broadway. Well, now they're part of Green Things. They've got all those great home accessories, beautiful fine art, handmade furniture. So, hey, you got a twofer going. Get all your Green Things, all your plants for spring, and some beautiful additions to your home from Zocalo. GreenThingsAZ.com is the website, and ZocaloVillage.com. It's time now to continue our 2020 Your Vote, Your Voice series here on The Buckmaster Show. All of our candidate interviews are being archived at KVOI.com, and of course, they're also available at BuckmasterShow.com. Today, we turn our attention to the Pima County Supervisorial District Number 4. For a long time, no Democrat ventured into these waters and put their hat in the ring. That's not the case this year. Steve Diamond, a Democrat, has declared his candidacy in District Number 4, and he's with me in studio now. Steve, it's nice to meet you, and thanks for coming.
Well, thank you, Bill. It's nice to meet you, and it's wonderful to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
How long has it been since a Democrat ran in District 4?
It's been 24 years. The last Democrat was 1996.
Wow. And this has traditionally been then a very kind of a stronghold for Republicans. Why do you feel that this is worthy of your time and attention, Steve Diamond?
Well, I think there are a few answers to that. For one thing, the demographics have been changing fairly rapidly. In fact, if you look at just the voter registration statistics in the district for the last few months, there's been a net increase in Democratic voters of more than 3,000. And the difference between the Republican and Democratic registration has shrunk about that much. And in fact, it shrunk by so much that if that trend continues between now and November, it'll be about even.
Wow. Steve, tell our listeners about yourself. Who is Steve Diamond?
Well,
where are you from? What have you been doing?
I'm originally from New York City, and okay. I've lived here in Pima County in Tucson for 50 years now.
Wow.
I attended the University of Arizona, where I have a degree in music theory and composition.
What particular instrument?
My instrument was voice.
Ooh.
I sung in the choirs there and also in some community choirs after graduating.
Okay.
And my professional career has mostly been in information technology. I've been a computer programmer, business analyst, a software architect, manager, and even a chief information officer in the corporate world.
You've been very passionate about labor issues.
Yes, I have. And as part of my community organizing and activism work for the last two or three years, I've been closely involved with the PALF, the Pima Area Labor Federation, which is a federation of AFL-CIO affiliated unions. And I've worked closely with them, particularly recently, on the ASARCO strike, where there are, as you know, seven unions are on an unfair labor practices strike against the Asarco mines.
That strike's been going on a while.
It's now in its fourth month.
Four months now, yeah. I was looking at your website, votestevediamond.com. You were talking about economic development, but you say economic development, you don't want the tax giveaways to be part of that.
Well, I don't want to eliminate the tax giveaways when they make sense economically, because I think that the current county administration under Mr. Huckleberry calculates those things very carefully, and they try to ensure that there is a return on investment. But I think there are other ways of doing economic development locally without those kinds of incentives. And one that I'm really passionate about is to lobby and incentivize large organizations such as the county government, such as the University of Arizona, such as local hospital systems, to redirect their spending into this community rather than acquiring goods and services out of state or out of area. Let them spend locally and build up local business at the same time.
How do you feel about the refugees and the immigrants being housed here in Pima County over at the former juvenile detention facility?
Well, I haven't visited the juvenile detention facility. I have volunteered at some of the church facilities. I think it was a difficult decision to make, because here you have the federal authorities basically dumping these refugees in the community, and it was up to the community to step up and take care of them. And the church groups have done that to a large extent, and I think it's admirable that the county government wished to get involved and to spend money on it. Whether the juvenile detention facility was the best place to house the refugees, I'm not sure.
We're speaking with Steve Diamond. Mr. Diamond is a Democrat, and he is a candidate in District Number 4. That is the district where the incumbent is Republican Steve Christie. Do you have anything specifically that you feel that Steve Christie is not doing right that you would like to see corrected?
Well, for one thing, he ran on a platform of repairing the roads. That was his biggest issue in 2016 during his campaign. And he advanced a plan to repair the roads that involved funding through a sales tax that would be diverted to the RTA for allocation and spending. And toward the end of 2017, the county attorney's office informed him that that would be illegal, that the county supervisors couldn't decline their responsibility for taking care of the roads. And after that, he has contributed very little toward any meaningful movement on road repair. So
you've been out speaking to people in the district, I assume, and
yes.
And what has this experience been like, the signature gathering and all of that? Is this a lot more work than you thought, or what?
Well, there certainly is a lot to it. The signature gathering itself is
and how many are needed?
Not all that difficult. I only need a minimum of 210 signatures to get on the ballot.
I would have thought it would have been more.
No, the countywide races are close to 1,000, but since this is only
one-fifth
of the of the county, it's fewer.
But the whole process, how does it feel to you, Steve Diamond?
Well, the process has a lot more to it than just the signature gathering, of course. And there are many, many moving parts. As a first-time candidate, I sometimes can feel a bit overwhelmed. But I've talked to a lot of people who are very encouraging and very supportive. And so I'm getting a lot of help from the community.
Do you have a presence? I mentioned you have the website. Are you on the Facebook? Have a presence there as well?
Yes, I have a Facebook page for my candidacy and a Twitter account for my candidacy.
And again, your website, vote, I believe I've got that right in front of me, votestevediamond.com. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Steve, it was a pleasure meeting you. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Steve Diamond, District 4 Democrat in the Pima County supervisorial race. This has been 2020, Your Vote, Your Voice. Be right back.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Tuesday edition, the final Tuesday of February, already upon us in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Our arts report on the Buckmaster Show is sponsored by our friends at Fox Tucson Theater, presenting Buddy, the Buddy Holly story on March the 8th. This is the Tucson premiere of the 2020 Broadway National Tour. So that's going to be a great show. There are still great seats available for this Sunday afternoon's performance of Buddy, the Buddy Holly Show, Sunday. And that is coming up this Sunday afternoon. And then we have on March the 8th, Sunday, March 8th, 3 p.m., see Big Bad Voodoo Daddy. Wait a minute, I've got that wrong. I've got the times wrong. Oh, my goodness. It's Big Bad Voodoo Daddy is Friday, March the 20th, and the Buddy Holly Show is March the 8th. There you go. We get that straight. Anyway, enjoy the best in swinging jazz when the Fox Tucson Theater welcomes Big Bad Voodoo Daddy on Friday, March the 8th. For more information, to view the full Fox Tucson Theater schedule and to purchase tickets, visit foxtucsontheater.com. So I think I got those dates right. March 8th for Buddy Holly, then March 20th for Big Bad Voodoo Daddy. All right, let's go to Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson. Dan, how are you, sir?
I'm really good. How are you?
Doing very well. Dan, any arts-related items that you would like to share with the Buckmaster Show listeners?
Sure, I'm ready. Let's do it.
Let's do it,
all
my
right.
friend.
February 29th, this Saturday from 12 to 4 p.m., it's the Ansel Adams Birthday Celebration at the Center for Creative Photography. They have an annual celebration. Why not? But they're also releasing a book this time, Making a Photographer, the Early Work of Ansel Adams by the chief curator at the Center for Creative Photography, Dr. Rebecca Sneff. She'll talk about the book. There will be a cake. And there'll be photo walks around the U Arizona campus. So like a whole opportunity to sort of get to know more about photography in general and the amazing work of Ansel Adams and his connection to Tucson. And that's absolutely free to my knowledge. So why not, right?
Well, and actually the former University of Arizona president, Dr. John Schaefer, back in the 1980s when the whole groundwork was being laid out for the Center for Creative Photography, it was basically to house the Ansel Adams Archive. And Dr. Yep. Schaefer actually went over to California. I think he met over in Carmel, California with Ansel Adams, and Ansel Adams agreed. And that really was the foundation, Dan Gibson, for the Center for Creative Photography.
Yeah, and that Ansel Adams didn't want it to be just like an Ansel Adams library
right.
or a singular collection of his work, but they wanted it to be sort of an exploration of the world of American photography in general. And that's where, you know, he called his famous friends and Dr. Schaefer, a notable photographer in his own right. A photo of Saint-Navier of his is on our visitor guide cover this year. Made calls, and, you know, then you start sort of expanding the connections, and that from there the sort of archives started to roll in because people are like, well, you know, if Walker Evans and Ansel Adams were there, why wouldn't I want my stuff there?
And man, has that center grown, right?
It's incredible. And then, you know, and they're sort of looking towards the future to sort of, you know, how can we make more of this? How can we create a larger celebration of American photography and how to show more of it? And the curators and directors there, especially, and the dean who's overseeing all of U of A Arts, really have big sort of ambition for what they can do with all these assets.
So if you've not been to the Center for Creative Photography, check it out on the University of Arizona campus. And again, Dan, that date for that event with the book and everything?
It's this Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah,
great.
Sneaking right up on you.
There you go.
You know, I don't know if people knew this. Maybe I didn't. They have so many docent art talks at the Tucson Museum of Art. You can learn about the art that's showing there, I mean, that's there on display, and the exhibitions that are coming up. They take place every Wednesday from January to April, so we're in the midst of that, 1:30 p.m. at the Stonewall Community Room. They are free with museum admission. Tomorrow from 1:30 to 2:30 p.m., they will have a discussion of the work of Lawrence Alma Tameda. He was a Victorian Britain artist, detailed depictions of life in their ancient world, and then his legacy disappeared. And so curators from the Museum of Art will be talking about his work and why it matters. On March 11th, there's the work of Saul Steinberg, a philosophical cartoonist. And then coming up on April 1st, Annie Leibovitz, discussion of her work. So there's the connection, American photography as well. So if you're around, if you don't have anything going on from 1:30 to 2:30, your show's over by then. You'd have to hustle a little bit. But otherwise, if people aren't busy 1:30 to 2:30, and hang out at the Tucson Museum of Art and learn something.
And again, that date is?
That one's this, there's one this Wednesday, tomorrow, and then every Wednesday until all the way through April.
Perfect.
At 1:30 p.m. and free with museum admission.
All right, Dan Gibson, what else is going on?
Well, you know, I love the Arizona Opera. They're doing incredible work over there. Really great lineup of classic opera and new works. They have a new show, well, not a new show, actually a celebration of a great Arizona Opera original, starting next Saturday, March 7th, 7:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m., and then a show on Sunday at 2 p.m. At the Tucson Music Hall. Their first commission, Riders of the Purple Sage, an adaptation of the Zane Grey novel, made its world premiere in 2017. They are bringing it back this year. It's about strength and redemption, told through, you know, these sort of beautiful Southwest vistas, and in collaboration with the Arizona visual artist Ed Mell, who did the backdrops. It is an incredible show. It is absolutely 100% worth seeing if you have not yet, and always the quality of the work being done at Arizona Opera is magnificent. So that's this a week from Saturday, March 7th and March 8th.
A few years ago, I was fortunate enough to interview Mr. Mel, Ed Mel, and he has just this beautiful kind of a grandiose style, kind of like a Maynard Dixon for people who remember the great work of Maynard Dixon of the Southwest, the Grand Canyon. Great work by Ed Mel.
Yeah, so it's a nice, amazing sort of collaboration. And if you haven't been to the opera lately, I think people will be I am frequently, every time I go, I'm amazed by just sort of the bigness of it. You know, I think we see so many things that are small through our phones and on television. The sort of magnificence of the opera is something that is hard to replicate in artistic culture.
Let's see if we can work another one in.
You know, I'm happy to do it. Coming up at Arizona Theater Company, they're in the midst of a really incredible season. March 7th through March 28th, The Legend of Georgia McBride. It is a big-hearted, fierce, musically filled comedy, as they say. It involves a Elvis impersonator, a drag show, and all kinds of dance and babies, and it's a fun show. The New York Times said it was stitch in your side funny, which is a very New York Times description of something. But written by Matthew Lopez, it's a really fun show. And Arizona Theater Company, similarly, I feel like I'm saying that about everyone today. But when Arizona Theater Company puts their energy into a show, they do a magnificent job. Absolutely worth checking out while it's here.
And at this time tomorrow, 12:45, Sean Daniels, who is the artistic director for the Arizona Theater Company, will be with us, and he'll be talking about putting his own creative stamp on next season's work. He's put together some great shows. We'll learn about that, Dan Gibson, tomorrow with Mr. Daniels.
I'll be listening. I'm ready now. I might just leave my radio on the whole time.
All right. I'm going to let you go in a moment. But first, since you are so keen on Tucson tourism and we are in prime time, your picture through the first 2 months of our prime time season.
It's remarkable that the numbers are still up. We had our June numbers come in, and I'm doing this off the top of my head, but I think the RevPAR, which is the sort of main number we look at, was, I think, 6% up over last year, which was up over the year before that. So you're still seeing these numbers climbing. And obviously, you know, February with the Gem Show entirely falling in February this year also looks to be bigger than ever. And it's new hotels coming up, which is always a nice thing. And the Graduate by the University of Arizona, which should be coming up shortly, the DoubleTree by the University, and the Hampton Inn as well. And then the new announcement of that Rio Nuevo is working on a hotel partner in the One South Church building downtown. It's all positive stuff. I mean, I always feel like the rug's going to get pulled out from under us and everything's going to fall apart and I'll be exposed as a fraud, but that has not happened yet.
All right, Dan Gibson, a visit to Tucson. Thank you, Dan.
My pleasure.
The Arts Report on the Buckmaster Show is sponsored by the Fox Tucson Theater, presenting Buddy, the Buddy Holly story on March the 8th. That's a Sunday, and the show begins at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. There's another great show coming up in March that we want to tell you about, and to get the best tickets, go to foxtucson.com, and that show that I'm referring to is kind of the best in swinging jazz when the Fox Tucson Theater welcomes Big Bad Voodoo Daddy Friday, March the 20th. So there's a lot going on. For more information, to view the full Fox Tucson Theater schedule and to purchase tickets, please visit foxtucson.com. That's going to do it for our Tuesday edition of The Buckmaster Show. On behalf of John Couch, doing a nice job as usual, engineering and producing The Buckmaster Show, I'm Bill Buckmaster, and coming up tomorrow, we'll talk with Pima County Supervisor Ramon Valadez. And as I mentioned, Sean Daniels of the Arizona Theater Company will be with us talking about the season, next season, that he's put together for the ATC. Have a great afternoon and evening.